Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to this week's episode of the City Confessions. Today, we are joined by Cameron Forbes. She is the visionary founder of Forbes Function, a boutique event planning company curating memorable experiences for both brands and party people alike. She is also a native New Yorker and known as the fairy godmother of events. So hi, Cameron. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm so excited to speak with you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat.
It's also very like rare to meet a native New Yorker. I don't know if you feel the same. So whenever I do get a chance to, I'm like super excited because I feel like we already have that, you know, unspoken bond. But
no, I mean, I feel like my world, having grown up in the city, gone to high school, so many of my friends are native New Yorkers, but also some people I've met in the last few years through my company, you know, have moved to the city in only the last decade or so. So it's really been amazing to kind of expand that community.
Yes, I love that. And for those who are watching, I just want to give a quick disclaimer. I was telling Cameron I am experiencing severe allergies. So that's why I look like this. I have not been crying, but my nose is Rudolph red. And if you are listening, I might sound a little, I don't know, like nasally, but that's just a disclaimer. But let's dive in. Cameron, I would love for you to speak about your relationship with New York City and kind of how you started Forbes Function.
Yeah, I mean, so my relationship with the city, I would say, you know, born and raised. So New York has really been, I feel like, the backdrop to kind of my entire life, minus my college years. And I mean, I feel so fortunate having grown up in New York. And I think a big reason why I started my business is just because of that kind of existing network I had in the city, whether it was, you know, vendors or potential clients, but also just, you know, having a deep understanding of New York, the different neighborhoods, you know, what restaurants are cool, what restaurants are trending. I've always kind of been attuned to like new openings and always kind of had my finger on the pulse of nightlife and hospitality in the city. So when I was kind of deciding what I wanted to do in the next phase of my career, it just felt like kind of taking this entrepreneurial step was the logical decision because I had such an amazing foundation having been raised in New York and, you know, been in the city my entire life.
I love hearing that. And I can definitely relate because I feel like I'm a very social person and I would always network, but not with the intention of like ulterior motives. I just love meeting new people and hearing their stories. And that's why I also started this podcast. And like LinkedIn is such a great tool as well. Like I felt like I used it very earlier on than like other people. So that's just like my also, I guess, relationship with networking. And I love that. I do understand that your team is female led, correct?
Yeah. So my team, you know, I am the founder and owner, and the rest of my team is all entirely female. So I think for me, it's really been a priority to find people that I'm comfortable working with and that, you know, I can trust with my baby. When you start a business, it's, you know, so close to your chest and you want to be so careful with it. And I think I found after working in events for a few years that I just, you know, worked really well with women and I really trusted, you know, the women on my team. And honestly, as unfortunate as it is, I had some experiences in hospitality and events where, you know, either male staffers or male vendors were, you know, creepy to my employees, hitting on people. And I just, you know, really learned really early on. I love working with the girlies. Everybody kind of gets it. And, you know, I don't have to worry about someone not being, you know, on the ball or being distracted because everyone really is there to work. And also, I think for me, you know, so much of our business is geared towards women and women who want to host and entertain. And so I feel like, you know, having a company that's built out with, you know, entirely female employees, we really get what our clients are looking for.
So when did you launch Forbes Function?
So I launched in June 2022. So it'll be 2 years in June of this year, which is really crazy to be coming up on that milestone. And started really with just myself. When I started, I actually had a full-time job still. So I was in the corporate life. I was working at Bank of America, actually in the city, so right over in Bryant Park, and absolutely loved it and was honestly so fortunate with my time there and my team. And so many of the people I worked with at Bank of America were so encouraging with starting my own business, because they just knew this is really what I wanted to do, and I missed kind of the creativity I'd had, outside of banking.
So tell me about your first client. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky. So I know I had always been kind of the party planner for my friends. If anyone was having a birthday or if they were planning a trip, they would text me and be like, "Hey, can you put together an itinerary? Can you do place cards or menus?" And so in June of 2022, I had a friend reach out to me and she was like, "You've always been helping our friends with this. I would love to just pay you, take it all off my plate. You handle the catering, the flowers, everything." And that experience kind of made me realize, oh, like this could actually be, a living and a long-term career for me. And so that first event I had was, super small dinner party, and it was for a friend of mine. So not a ton of pressure, but I think it was a great kind of first foray into the industry. And, from there, that was, early summer 2022. It just kind of kept spiraling and snowballing. And I would say by kind of January 2023, I was doing, 4 to 6 events a month. And that's when I decided, I think the timing is right for me to quit my job and, go into this full time.
I'm so happy to hear that. And it seems like, a smooth journey from the time that you launched to January. But I know there are also struggles. So was
Yeah,
there a freak out
absolutely.
moment? Because I know that events is chaotic and like there's so much going on. So tell me about like the craziest like breakdown moment that you had.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have had a lot. And I would say, especially when I was still working, I had a job in banking and I was doing events on the weekends, which, that left very little time for my social life and self-care. So I feel like I was kind of getting burnt out and kind of, burning the candle at both ends when I was doing that. But I would say from that time, one experience I had, which honestly kind of inspired how I built out my company, is I was doing a dinner party. And I had this guy who we had hired as kind of bartender and managing the catering. And just the entire time I was at this event, he was like so rude to myself, the rest of my team, kind of, belittling me, asking, how long have I been doing this for? And at that time, it had only been 6 months, asking how long I had been doing this for, like why I felt I was a good fit for this job. And almost just trying to challenge me. And I think if anything, that almost encouraged me more because I was like, okay, you think just because I've been doing this for 6 months, I don't know what I'm doing, and really pushed me forward. But I would say, in that period where I was working two jobs, there were a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of, meltdowns and moments of just like, how am I doing this all? Which is why I ended up, transitioning to working on events full time. Just because it is so demanding. And with events, we're on 24/7.
So, what is the process of, I guess, curating an event? Let's say I'm a client, I'm interested in hosting a party with you. What is the process?
Yeah, so you would reach out to me and we would hop on a call like this and talk through, the different, we have kind of 5 to 10 questions we like to ask on our intake calls about, the guest count, if you had a venue in mind, any sort of must-haves, what you want food and beverage to look like, budget, kind of all of those big event questions. And then from there, my team will build out a custom proposal, which I do have to say they're very beautifully designed and super fun to look at. And that would just have, a budget breakdown based on, all the different elements we recommend, some of our design recommendations, some creative concepts, and then visual examples of our past work, kind of some inspiration photos. And then normally from there, we'll, move forward with the contract, get a deposit down for the date. And then my team really handles everything, and the client can kind of be as involved as they want to be. We have some clients who are super into the design and hosting and want to have a lot of feedback and really be hands-on. And we have other clients who, once that contract is signed, they're like, yep, good to go. Whoever you recommend, whether it's the florist, the DJ, I trust you guys. And yeah, so we'll then, you know, line up any vendors, manage kind of all of that workflow. And then my team is there on the day of, you know, your big event for setup, cleanup, any sort of event management. So we really like to think that, you know, we provide event planning all the way from ideation, so the early you coming to me with a request, all the way up to execution and any sort of after event recap that we need.
I feel like there are so many events happening in New York City, like all the time. Do you think the event planning industry is competitive slash oversaturated? And how do you personally stand out because it is a boutique event planning company?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I don't feel like it's oversaturated. I feel like there are so many event planners, and I mean, I, you know, interact with so many on a daily basis, and have so many mentors and friends I've met through the industry. But I really do feel like a lot of people have been great at finding their kind of niche. So, you know, I have friends who exclusively do weddings, or they exclusively do bat mitzvahs and events for children, or you know, they really only do destination events. And I think for us, what really sets us apart is we are really New York and Hamptons based. You know, we're happy to travel, but we do it pretty rarely. We really pride ourselves on, you know, just a deep understanding of Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Long Island, and kind of have such an extensive network of vendors and connections in those areas that we think, you know, really allows us to get the best deals, discounts for clients. And then I would say the other thing is just kind of the look of our events. We're really known for going all out, you know, everything. We like every single thing to be super detailed and thought out. And really, at the end of the day, our goal is always kind of to take the client's vision, but also make it, you know, as cohesive and kind of connected as possible. So when you walk into the event, you really feel like, okay, I'm stepping into an Aperol Spritz party, and everything from the drinks to the menu to the decor is built off of, you know, that theme or aesthetic. So I think it's a mix of both kind of our understanding of New York and the Hamptons and kind of our look, which is, you know, really maximalist, going all out and really, you know, digging into the details.
I love hearing that. I want to dive deeper into like your entrepreneurial mindset. I know you were talking about when you were working at Bank of America, you kind of wanted to tap into that side and that creativity side. But growing up, like, were you inspired by anybody? Tell me about like your upbringing or maybe like your family. Like, how does that, like, why are you the way you are now? Like, so driven, so entrepreneurial.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think, you know, my parents definitely had a big role to play. My dad actually, you know, worked in the city his entire career, and he's been kind of a lifelong investment banker. So a little bit different in careers, but he has always been, you know, super hardworking, driven. He was always working late and traveling when I was growing up. And then my mom, you know, she worked in fashion, also had a long career of her own. But I would say how she really inspired me is her and my grandma and a lot of the other women in my family have always been very hosting and entertaining forward. You know, they really care about having flowers on the table, having place cards set, making sure, you know, everything goes together. They've always, you know, really prioritized the aesthetic and design kind of not only of our home, but of just family events we have. And I think, you know, kind of doing that from an early age, whether it was setting the table, helping my mom do flower arrangements, really, you know, got me interested in events and in this industry. And then, you know, my dad's kind of hard work ethic allowed me to kind of think of an entrepreneurial path where I could be combining, you know, my passion for hosting and this kind of entrepreneurial urge that I've also had since I was younger, into a career.
It sounds like you're very close to your family. So when there are
Definitely.
family gatherings, do you guys fight on who's hosting? Or are you like, no, I'm doing this for a living. I want to take a back seat.
Honestly, I would say it kind of goes back and forth. So, you know, this year for my dad's birthday, I was like hands-on. I wanted to do it big. You know, he was turning 65. So we did, you know, skywriting, saying happy 65th birthday
Aww.
from a plane. We had all of his friends come out to the Hamptons, planned like a whole birthday weekend, did lots of custom merch and all this stuff. But I will say, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, I was like, I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
I do not want to be doing flower arrangements. I do not want to be doing the tablescape for, you know, all 12 of us. And even right now, actually, I'm in Florida. My birthday's on Friday. And, you know, I was thinking about my birthday dinner and I was like, do I want to do like a big, you know, tablescape design, floral installation? And I was just like, I'd rather just, you know, enjoy it.
Happy early birthday. And that
Thank
segues
you.
perfectly to my next question, because I was going to ask, like, naturally as a hostess, have that drive or that enthusiasm when it comes to like hosting events, socializing with friends. But I also feel, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, do you secretly sometimes feel like because you're so good at your job that you want like maybe friends, not your family, because your family's already like in that field, like somewhat, like your friends to host a party for you? Because I feel like it's kind of similar to like gift giving, right? Like, I think I'm a really great gift giver, and I know not everybody is a great gift giver, but then it's like when there are those events, you sometimes kind of wish like, oh, I wish they would do it as good as me. So tell me, do you
I
ever feel
know.
like that?
I definitely do. And I will say that is like partially the reason that, you know, for the last 5+ years, I've always planned my own birthday and always planned my own, you know, I even had a holiday party in December. And I think I am just such a control freak when it comes to events because I do it, you know, as a professional that I very much, you know, I had two friends who were hosting my holiday party with me in December. And I was like, I love the two of you, but I just need you guys to pay the deposit for the venue and I'm gonna do like all the food, beverage, decor, the invite, everything. Just because I know I will be able to do it, you know, faster and potentially better than everybody else. Just because as you said, it's like, you know, my friends who are doctors, lawyers, they don't do this day to day. But I will also say, you know, as you were kind of hinting, there are definitely times where I'm like, I just want to be hands off.
Totally.
Because, you know, doing events day in and day out, it's like sometimes you just want to have a dinner, you know, you just want to order takeout and have dinner on paper plates and not do, you know, the big dinner party.
Totally. It's like similar to like a chef, right? Like they're always cooking for other people and they just
So
want to
true.
say, I'm just gonna go in and just have food delivered or me served to me. So I
Exactly.
totally get that. Sounds like your industry is also very stressful and burnout is probably very real. How do you manage your mental health and just self-care?
Yeah, I mean, I think honestly, it's still kind of a struggle for me. Especially, you know, it's gotten easier as I've grown out my team. I've been able to kind of delegate tasks. And I feel like a lot of the times when you're a business owner, it can feel like every single thing, every to-do is just in your head and nobody else kind of knows the inner workings of the business. I think now that I've been able to build out my team and really find women I trust, I've been able to delegate more, kind of push things off my plate and really focus on the parts of the business that I want to focus on. But I would say for me, I still have to remind myself daily, like number one, to set boundaries, just because I'm definitely, you know, the toughest boss I've ever had on myself. You know, if I had the time, I would be working till midnight every night just because I love my company and it's my baby and I'm so excited about it. But you know, I have to remind myself, okay, you know, it's 7 o'clock, let's close the computer. And I also, you know, definitely try to carve out moments of self-care and taking time for myself. I feel like my Google Calendar is like my lifeline, and everything from meetings to errands to even self-care are scheduled on it. So I really, you know, I think my advice for business owners would be to prioritize, you know, those moments of self-care or being by yourself. And also to not be afraid, you know, delegating and pushing some things off your plate when you do have employees you really trust, because again, you know, you can have faith in them, even though this feels like, you know, you're giving them your baby, they'll be fine.
No, I totally understand. It also seems like your company is kind of like running very smoothly. You go about your day. Let's say you get your hair done or you're taking the subway. Are you still trying to network, or do you feel like you've kind of, you know, are happy with where the company is right now because you do have clients, you know, things are very consistent. Like how does ne what is networking looking now?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, I am like always hungry and I'm always kind of on to the next and thinking about the next thing. So even though I can tell you right now, you know, we have a full client roster, we have 11 clients right now that we're working on events for. At the same time, I'm always trying to meet new potential clients. And I mean, I think we're really similar where I could talk to a literal wall. And even when I'm, you know, in line at Trader Joe's, I'll be talking neighbor in line, just because I think for me, one of the biggest lessons I learned early on from a mentor is just, you never know who someone is or who someone will be. And even for me, it's like, you know, one of the interns we're hiring for the summer in 10 years could, you know, be running their own fashion line or could have a huge business. And so I always think just, you know, treating people with kindness, being friendly, chatting, being conversational goes such a long way, because you never really know, you know, where that relationship could take you. And so I think for me, there's never a moment where I want to stop networking or I feel like I'm satisfied with where the business is. For me, it's just like, you know, we can always be improving and iterating and taking this to the next level.
I agree with you 100%. And I feel like it only takes like one interaction to change the trajectory of your life. And being that we live in New York City, there's just so many opportunities. And I always say that, like some like an analogy I use is, you know, if you're on a train, it's like filled with people. And like, you have no idea like what their story is, what their background is. And you might have like mutual friends, but it's just so funny how like New York City is so big, but yet I feel like it's very small in terms of like the circle. So
it's true. And I mean, I think even for me, so many of my clients I have gotten kind of through that kind of circular networking, where one of my favorite clients from this year is we did Baked by Melissa, her first book launch in January. And, you know, I was chosen as the event planner for that out of a, you know, a big pool of competitors, because I had done a couple different events where we had brought Baked by Melissa on as a vendor. We had done, you know, the cupcake displays and mosaics, and I had always had a great time chatting with their team. We had gotten along really well. And, you know, just that extra kind of connection made the difference between me being able to land this really big client. So again, as you're saying, it's like, you know, why not strike up a conversation, treat someone with kindness, give someone a compliment, because you never know, you know, what is going to come from that.
And I love this conversation because I feel like we're like busting the myth or stereotype that New Yorkers are rude and don't want to have conversations and are super direct. So I mean, definitely, I think you will always have moments where you don't want to socialize and you just want to get from destination A to B. But for the most part, I feel like we're friendly.
Yeah. And I mean, I can also say, I mean, my advice for New Yorkers, no matter where you're living, is just in your neighborhood, you know, say hi to people, start introducing yourself, whether it's the guy at the bodega, the guy at the photo store, you know, the doorman in your neighborhood. I feel like that's kind of what has made New York feel like such a small town to me, both growing up on the Upper East Side and now living downtown, is, you know, when I'm walking around, I know Silvio, who owns the photo store, you know, I know Valentine, who sells the street hot dogs, I know the doorman in my neighborhood. And I think for me, you know, that just makes every day for me so much more special. And it's just a more enjoyable living in New York City. And I think the train car analogy that you brought up is such a great one. You know, why not say hello to somebody on that train as opposed to spend the 12 minutes, you know, staring at your screen?
Yes, I love that. So my podcast, because we are kind of wrapping up, is called The City Confessions. And I would love, Cameron, for you to share a confession with all of us. And I always preface this by saying that there's no right or wrong. It can be something very silly and surface level or deeper and like about your vulnerabilities and insecurities, whatever you're comfortable sharing. But Cameron, what is your city confession?
I have to think, because honestly, I will
yes,
say,
take your time.
Having grown up in the city, I feel like I have so many kind of funny stories and confessions.
It could be like a crazy New York City story or a fun fact or a misconception you think people have of you or something like you'd be embarrassed to share, but you know, you're going to be open today. Like whatever resonates.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, my kind of city confession would be just growing up in New York City, kind of how insane it was. And I think one of the questions I always get asked is someone who grew up in New York City and, you know, grew up on the Upper East Side, went to an all-girls school, is, was your upbringing like Gossip Girl? And I think my city confession will be, yes, it was. And I feel like at such a young age, I was exposed to so much, whether it is, you know, partying, people going out. I mean, I, you know, myself and I had friends who were at some of the biggest clubs in the city at 14, 15. And I think, you know, my city confession is that the only reason that I was able to stay so driven, motivated, and focused is because I had an amazing family support system and, you know, was brought up with a lot of attention and care. So I think my city confession is, if you're going to be raising kids in New York City, keep an eye on them, because, you know, it is totally a playground for a teenager or, you know, someone in high school. So I would say that's a big one for me. And then I would say my other city confession is that I honestly still love a New York City orange cab. I always take cabs, prefer it to Uber. I just feel like it's always easier, less expensive, and they actually know where they're going. So those are my two.
Interesting. I love the Gossip Girl one because, one, it's like one of my favorite shows. I actually grew up in the opposite neighborhood, so in the Lower East Side. And, you know, Lower East Side is like filled with bars. And I definitely was also in bars, like, when I was very young, using my sister's ID. And the bouncers, like, knew exactly where I lived. They would be like, oh, down the block. Because I grew up near pianos. So, like, right, right there. And I feel like it's funny because we got all of that out of our system earlier on. So I feel like it matures you, because by the time you're, like, actually legal at 21, you're not trying to, like, go out all the time. You're like, I've been there, done that.
And I so agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like, you know, as someone in my 20s, I feel like almost a grandma, because so many of the things that, you know, my friends who I met, I went undergrad at Duke, so many of my friends who moved to the city in the last few years, it's like, you know, they're getting that out of their systems. They've never been to these big New York City nightclubs. Whereas, as you're saying, it's like, we were doing that when I was a sophomore year in high school. But I think also, you know, that's kind of allowed me to focus more on my business, because I don't feel, you know, the need to be out and about. I've, you know, spent my whole life in the city. I know it like the back of my hand. But yeah, definitely true. And it's really funny. We definitely had kind of similar upbringings.
Yes. And I love that, you know, we're kind of talking all about New York City, because this is what my podcast revolves around. So now I have a little game where I'm going to ask you 5 questions and you answer with the first word that pops into your mind.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. What is your favorite thing about New York?
Favorite thing about New York, I would honestly say, is probably the people, and just, you know, how busy New York City is, the hustle and bustle. Like, as you were saying, you never know who you're going to see when you're walking down the street or on a subway car, whether it's a celebrity or someone who's another VIP, or just, you know, a friend of yours who's coming home from Pilates. So I think kind of the community aspect for me is my favorite thing about New York.
And on the flip side, what is your least favorite thing?
Least favorite thing about New York, I would honestly say, is just the cost. It is so expensive to live in the city. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure you feel the same way. It's only gotten more expensive since we were growing up. So I feel like, as someone who's been here, you know, for over 20 years, there are times where I'm like, I can't believe I'm paying this much for a bacon, egg, and cheese at a bodega.
I mean, talk about the MetroCard. I remember when it was like $125, $150, and it's like $3 now. It's crazy.
I had the $1.50 MetroCard. Yeah.
And that was great. I was like, oh, okay, this seems reasonable. So yeah, it is insane. Okay, so if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
Dynamic.
Sorry, go ahead. Yeah, continue.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like there is always so much going on. There's something that appeals to kind of every different type of person, whether, you know, you're more artistic, you're more athletic, you really love to party and go out. I just feel like, you know, there's no city in the world where so much is happening at once and so much is accessible and available to you.
I agree. What's your go-to spot? Your restaurant, cafe?
I have a couple of go-to spots. I would say my number one is probably in Gramercy. I love Bar Jamon, and its neighboring restaurant, which is called Casa Mono. It's delicious Spanish restaurant. It's a super small restaurant. There are like 12 or 14 tables. And on like a spring or summer afternoon, there are just lots of people outside sipping spritzes and wine, eating tapas, and I just love it. I think it also, that kind of area in Gramercy feels a lot like the Upper East Side to me. So it kind of almost reminds me of growing up.
I was just going to add that Gramercy is probably one of my favorite neighborhoods, like in New York City, hands down. It's so beautiful. No, I mean, it's definitely expensive, but I love being there. The last question is, if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
I mean, honestly, I feel like I have to thank New York City for kind of everything, having been born and raised. But I would say, Anything I would just say, honestly, my success with my career. I don't think, I would be able to have a business and have, a team and so much going on at such a young age if I hadn't grown up in New York. It just provided, the foundation and the network that I needed to, enter this entrepreneurial journey as a young woman. I think if I was, moving from Michigan or Missouri or Kansas, I'd be starting from the ground up versus, kind of having a leg up and having an understanding of the city at such a young age.
Yeah, and I agree. And I'm so excited for Forbes Function. And it was such a pleasure speaking with you, Cameron. Now it is your
No,
chance.
we have to
Yes,
do
while
some
I
sort
grab
of
coffee.
dating event or some
Yes,
sort of
that'll be
your
fun.
book.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, we'll talk off air about that. So right now it is your chance to plug away. I'm going to have all of your information in the show notes. So if you're watching or listening, be sure to expand on that. But do you have any secret projects you're working on? Do you want to share anything that you need support with? Like, let us know.
Yeah, I would say so. Reach out to us. You can find us online. It's just ForbesFunctions.com. We're also Forbes Functions on all socials. So TikTok, Instagram, Pinterest, any of those. And I would say, if you want to work with us, reach out, schedule a call, and you'll be sent directly to me. And we can talk about kind of your dream event and making that happen. As far as secret projects, I will say, and I have to be very careful with how I word them. We are going to be launching a very exciting new product, which will be actually our first product. It's going to be coming later in April. So for anyone who really loves hosting, entertaining at home, we are launching a line of products that's going to make it really, really easy for you to achieve kind of the beautiful dinner parties and tablescapes that we do at Forbes Functions on your own at home. So stay tuned for that. It's coming soon.
Fun. This episode is actually going live around like the end of April. So if it
Okay, perfect.
coincides, then maybe, we'll reveal it.
I
If
was going to
not,
say, I think it's probably already going to be out at that point.
yeah.
But yeah, definitely look out for that. And then, yeah, reach out to us if you want to host an event. And also, if you have any interest in working in events, gaining event experience, feel free to reach out as well. We're always looking.